This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time now for Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Tatum gets switched on to McCollum. 5 seconds left. A chance to win this in regulation. Tatum going to work. Elbow jumper. Yes, sir!
Welcome in. It's Shime and Mego here on a snowy, wintry Saturday morning, early afternoon. Mego, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm a little pissed off, but I'm good.
Uh-oh. Angry Mego?
I'm not angry. More just like irritated.
Okay.
Irritated, annoyed, happy coming off of a Celtics win last night and a great moment for Tatum. But I'm like, I'm kind of annoyed the way that people are talking about this team. I don't know if you want to get right into it. I was just telling you. I was like, okay, we're in February now. I'm looking outside. Snowflakes are falling again. Once again, where was the weather report on this?
Non-existent.
Yeah.
I noticed.
Does anyone know when it's going to snow? Does anyone know when it snows at any point anymore?
No.
Have we defunded all of the local weather reporting?
No. Like, and I don't mean to hate on our guys like Jeremy Reiner, big friend of the Greg Hill Morning Show, but the meteorologists in this town generally just say, yeah, there's probably snow coming, and then they'll throw out a number, and it's totally wrong. It's like generally like 5 inches in either direction. You just kind of got to give or take, or they'll give you the giant graph that says, yeah, you could get anywhere from 3 to 12 inches. That's a massive difference. The difference between 3 inches and a foot of snow is like hours of work and hours of digging yourself out. So if we could be just a little bit more precise, that'd be great. But apparently this is not a precise science.
Well, the other thing is I feel like everybody in weather puts out like three models.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, it could be any of these three
things.
Yeah,
we use the European models, the new Swiss model. We use the Australian models. It's their summer, but it's fine.
And I know it's rich coming from us because we have sports predictions and we have takes and opinions, and a lot of times they're wrong. But
generally,
it's not a science.
No.
Weather is supposed to
this
be
is a, not science.
A science. Weather is supposed to be a science.
Yes.
And once again, I'm waking up, taking the dog out, and I'm like, oh, I guess we're getting a dusting. No, it is snowing again. It's we're almost through the morning now.
Well,
and
it was raining all day yesterday, too. So it's like, I'm like, okay, so it was warm enough to rain for like 4 hours yesterday, and then all of a sudden it's cold enough that now we're snowing and we're going to get like 2 inches.
But anyway, yeah, I'm just fatigued because I feel like the entire month of January, it was below 30 degrees every single day.
And it was the longest month of the year.
And at some point it was like 5 degrees, and then it was 9 degrees. And I just feel I feel annoyed the way that people are talking about the Celtics. I feel annoyed the way people are talking about Jason Tatum. And I just want to give him a minute to have a little recognition from the clutch shot that he hit last night and get into like what is clutch and what is not clutch and why I think we need to be paying more attention to something that Jason Tatum is doing this year.
Ooh, okay. So what is it that you think we need to pay more attention to then, Mego?
Okay. So everybody's looking at the Celtics team. And they're going, why isn't the Celtics team blowing other teams out?
Sure.
Why aren't they winning by 15 plus
points? Well,
they
are the most talented team in basketball.
Yes, when they're playing a team like the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And that's a bottom of the Eastern Conference
12
kind
of team. 12-37.
Like, that is a basement team, and you're the elite team. And why aren't you blowing them out every single night. Like, why aren't you rolling in and defending the title in a way that shows that you are definitely better than the Cavs and you're definitely better than Oklahoma City? And why are you losing to Houston when you're down three of your rotational players? And I just am at the point where I don't want to sit here and be like a total Celtics defender, but it's annoying because I know that no matter what, it's not going to be enough, and they're coming off of a championship. I look.
Which is odd in this town, too.
It's annoying because for whatever reason, the team still hasn't proven it to this market, and they're the defending champs. And what they're doing, if you look back at defending champs who go on to win the title,
yeah, we did this
with
a couple
the last
weeks
ago. Two out of three, is exactly what other NBA teams do, and they still go back and win the title. Do I still think the Celtics are going to win the title? Yes, I do. As I sit here today, I still think that they are the favorites. If I had to actually put money down and put something on the line to say, are they going to win or not? Yeah, I would say that it's going to be the Celtics.
I agree.
And it annoys me because I think if they were blowing teams out right now, and I might be making this up, but you tell me what you think, Shyam. If they were blowing out teams 15 plus, people would say they're not being tested right now. They're not being tested.
Not enough adversity.
They're just rolling through. What's going to happen when they get into the playoffs and they see some, they go through a series with the Cavs?
It would be the same reaction this team got entering the finals last year. They're like, yeah, everybody they beat had injuries. They really weren't tested. Dallas is going to beat them. Dallas is going to win in six games. And then they blow doors on Dallas.
And I get it. We need something to talk about, but like, watch the games and come up with something real to talk about.
Yeah.
And what I want to talk about today is a difference between Jason Tatum last year, the year before, to who he is this year.
Okay.
Because this is a real thing. And this is something I've been very critical about with Jason Tatum in the past. I said Jason Tatum had a problem with buzzer beaters, with daggers, with
being... That's why you saw Jaylen Brown have them a lot last year.
Being the hero in those moments. And guess what? He did. There's this little number. There's this group called... Let me make sure I get this right. It's Impredictable...
Nice. Good.
And
name.
They're like a stats group. And
I love stats.
And this is a kind of a dork stat, but hang with me because
I'm in.
It's this guy, Michael Buey, who's a stat nerd, super your side of the
One
street.
Of my guys. Yeah, I gotcha.
This is a real thing.
A DVOA hole.
We like talk about clutch all the time in sports, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about clutch with basketball in particular, but definitely. I feel like sometimes people don't totally understand what clutch means in basketball.
Okay.
Clutch in basketball means the final 5 minutes of the game. And it's somewhere around a one score game. And so you have the opportunity to move the needle one way or the other, push your team ahead. That is clutch. But when you think about NBA, the last 5 minutes of an NBA game is like kind of a long time.
It's an eternity.
Right?
The final 2 minutes of an NBA game takes an hour.
So there's this stupid argument that then happens where fans watching Jason Tatum miss buzzer beaters or these heroic moments go, Tatum's not clutch. And then people who actually look at the clutch stats in the NBA get really annoyed and they go, no, he's actually really clutch. Look at these final 5 minutes he's been having.
I think Kemba Walker actually had the opposite effect where it's like you can point out multiple big moments where he makes shots, but if you go by the numbers, he's actually terrible in those clutch moments. So continue.
Yeah. And so I think it's the way that we talk about it. And I want a better name for this stat because it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this group calls it clutch squared, which just sounds total nerd. But what it means
double
is
clutch?
What it means
that.
Is basically you're within a one score in the final minute. It is the top 1% of plays that you can make to swing the game one way or another. It's basically the heroic moments, the buzzer beaters, all of that. So Tatum is in the last couple of years has been in like the 50%, 54% range with his clutch stats, which is good, whatever. You look at somebody like Curry in the Dynastic Warriors years, one of the clutchest shooters of all time.
Yeah.
His clutch squared average across those years was 62%.
Okay. So is that generally like the drastic difference, right? If Tatum's at 50 and Curry's at 62, Curry's at that elite
tier?
No,
so Tatum was like, that's his clutch overall.
Okay.
But so Tatum over the last 2 years was 26 and 23%.
Oh, wow.
Which is bad.
Yeah.
And I wrote about this. I said, when it comes to game-winning shots, when it comes to like these go-ahead game-winning shots, it's not good compared to someone like Curry. Tatum's bumped up from 26%, 23% last year to almost 44% this year.
Wow, so a huge jump.
He's almost doubled and he's taking more of those shots than before.
Yep.
So it is a real way that you can look at it besides just the eyeball test of watching the games and saying, Jason Tatum has elevated his game to a different position than it was last year and the year before. And it is another reason why I say, please put the ball in Jason Tatum's hands.
Yeah, they do that way too often where they take the ball away from him when he should be the one, especially not just because of his ability to score and be clutch, but his ability to generate for other people. Because when he takes the ball to the rim, a lot of the time he's such a great facilitator that he can find the open guy. And a guy like Derek White or a guy like Jaylen Brown or a guy like Kristaps Porzingis will be open, and he finds them amidst a crowd of five guys and generally gives them an open opportunity for a shot.
And again, these are all regular season stats, so there's a whole other conversation about who Tatum is in the playoffs.
Definitely.
If he's asserted himself enough deep into playoff runs in the championship run last year, like, that's a different conversation. But when we're talking about whether he's clutch or not, Tatum's always been clutch. We just don't talk about clutch. Like, that is a 5-minute segment of an NBA game that, sure, as you said, is an eternity. If you want to talk about if he's a hero, if he's Michael Jordan, if he's Kobe, if he's Steph Curry during the actual dynasty, that's a different conversation. And what I can tell you is, so far this year, in more instances where he's had that opportunity, he's almost twice as good as he was last year. So that's really different. And I think you need to start recognizing that when you talk about this team. Tatum is playing better basketball than he's played overall in most of his career this year. He's still quiet in the MVP conversation.
Always.
He's still sometimes kind of quiet on his own team. And we look around and we go, what's going on with Brown? Why aren't Derek White's numbers up? Is Jrue Holiday hitting a different position in his career, a different chapter of his career? And nobody talks about quietly that Tatum is turning into the guy that everybody has been trying to ask him to be for the last 8 years of his career.
Well, I think he just gets penalized so often because he plays on such a talented team that especially people outside
this
market.
But right now, some of the other guys who are, quote, so talented are not playing to the level, and he's the one who is exceeding all of that.
Yeah, look, I completely agree with you. I just think that outside of this market, people look at him and go, well, yeah, Porzingis just had 27 the other night. Jaylen Brown had 28 last night. Like, of course, Jason Tatum's playing really well. Like, he's on a team with three superstars, like him and two other guys. And then on top of it, Derek White and Jrue Holiday were on the Olympic team. And it's like everybody kind of just discounts what he does because of who's around him, when in reality, like, this ship goes as Jason Tatum goes a lot of the time. Like, when he is playing at his best, this team is at its best. Even when Jaylen Brown was struggling, whether it was because of an injury or going through a breakup or whatever it was, and he was missing shots.
Going through a breakup?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear about this?
Well, I want to know what you've heard.
Well, apparently, we talked about it on the Greg Hill Show.
Okay,
I think it was Friday.
That segment.
Yeah. I believe he broke up with his girlfriend. So maybe he was going through some emotional heartbreak there.
He also had his mom's house broken into in December.
That it can get to you. I mean, ask Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. They hated that as well. Joe Burrow had a whole issue with that. So I get that. So he could have been dealing with a lot of personal stuff. Or it was just an injury. Who knows? But regardless, Jason Tatum was doing his best to carry that team because Porzingis is only playing every other night. Jaylen Brown was injured or dealing with things, whatever, and Derek White was going through one of his spells. Jrue Holiday clearly banged up, and so I think more this season has been on Jason Tatum's plate. And to your point, like, he's rising to the occasion, and he's probably not getting enough credit for bringing this team to where they are currently.
He honestly doesn't. And maybe I'm looking at it more from a league perspective, but it is at the point where it's pissing me off. I just don't understand why he doesn't get the respect for being one of the only superstars who is one of two, actually, and the other one is Jalen Brunson, one of the only guys who is in top 10 minutes in the entire league, and he's a superstar. The other one's Jalen Brunson. If you want to call Jalen Brunson of the Knicks a superstar, I think
he's
you have
all-star
to make an argument. But Tatum is at a different level than Jalen Brunson.
Very much so.
He plays all the time. He's better this year than he's been in his entire career. He's more, let's just call it, super clutch than he's ever been in his career.
Yep.
And he's still not really in the MVP conversation.
No.
And he still has people looking sideways at his team being like, well, that's a super team, and look at that roster, and they're still not playing up to it, and what's going on with the coach, and what's going on with this, and is Jaylen Brown mad at everybody? And I just feel like so much of it is just crap that is starting to annoy me.
As you mentioned, so he's in, like, the top 10 or top 5 in minutes played. I mean, he is 150 to 1 to win the MVP, which means he has realistically no shot. Mm-hmm. It's basically just Shea Gilgeous-Alexander running away with it with Nikola Jokic kind of hanging around.
And Jokic will be there every year.
Yeah, and that's just because of who he is and what
he
does.
He's a freak.
Yeah, he's a freak. But, like, I mean, it's crazy to me that Jason Tatum just gets glossed over. It's just there's no consideration. There's no thought to it. His name is there just because he's Jason Tatum and he plays for the Boston Celtics, but nobody actually really considers it. Nobody actually wants to kind of look at the impact that he makes on a night-and-night basis. Like, I think him and Jokic are similar in the kind of way in which they make their teams operate, right? Like, Jokic is a walking triple-double. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, Jason Tatum can be that. But
he's a walking double-double.
Yeah. Some nights, it's because he's a facilitator, and he's taking the ball to the rim, and he's getting the ball to open guys and allowing them to hit shots. Other nights, he's attacking the glass. When Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis are out, Jason Tatum focuses on getting rebounds. He's attacking the glass. He's being one of your bigger guys on the court, assisting in any way he can. And then it's just... And then there's other times where in those moments where you need him to make a shot, he goes out and makes a shot. And it's like...
Which he didn't used to do.
No. And he does all of these things so well and so just so impressively, but just everybody doesn't care because it's not these eye-popping 40-point games. It's not these crazy, oh my God, like, did you see Jason Tatum dropped 50 on the Nuggets the other night? Like, no, he doesn't... The way in which he plays isn't flashy. His personality isn't flashy.
Definitely not.
And so people just don't give him the credit he deserves.
Can I ask one thing? And I know that we need a trend, and then maybe we can carry this on the other side.
Definitely.
Is it a Celtics thing? Is it about this market? Because we talk so much about how Tatum is almost like, I don't want to say victim, but his circumstances are related to the talent of the roster. Is this an almost disregard the Celtics agenda because it's not sexy? It's not the Lakers.
617-779-7937. Why does Jason Tatum get underrated by people across the country when talking about the NBA? We'll get to that. We'll get to your Patriots thoughts coming up later on in the show as well. Mike Vrabel. There's some interesting thoughts on what Ben McAdoo is going to be doing with this team. We'll hit on the NFL draft because I'm here. So, of course, we will do that. We will get to all that here. It's Mego and Shine. But right now, Zach's going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
5 seconds left. A chance to win this in regulation. Tatum going to work. Elbow jumper. Yes, sir!
That's how it sounded last night as Jason Tatum drilled a fadeaway jumper with 0.2 seconds left to lift the Celtics past the New Orleans Pelicans. 118-116, the final from New Orleans. Jaylen Brown led the way for the Seas with 28 points while Tatum had 27 of his own. Next up, a trip to Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. That one goes down tomorrow night. Tip-off from the Wells Fargo Center set for 6. Bruins looking to bounce back after Thursday night's drubbing at the hands of the Winnipeg Jets. They host the New York Rangers this afternoon at the Garden. Puck drop set for 3:30. Speaking of those New York Rangers, big trade in the NHL last night. They acquired forward JT Miller from the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for forward Filip Hedl, a protected first-round pick and a prospect. Miller is expected to make his Rangers debut this afternoon against the Bruins. Busy day of college hoops as conference play is in full swing. Some notable games today include number 5 Florida in Knoxville to take on number 8 Tennessee, number 20 Missouri taking on number 14 Mississippi State, number 25 UConn in Milwaukee for a matchup with number 9 Marquette, and UNC heading to Duke to take on the number 2 Blue Devils. Don't forget you can hear Westwood One's coverage of that one right here on WEEI, coverage starting at 6:15. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Shine coming up after this.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Some games, they just completely take away, for example, my three. And then every basket I have to, like, earn with, you know, with meat. Mm-hmm. And, like, that maybe, yeah, with force. Maybe that crowd sounded crazy. But, like.
Mego and Shine here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. That was Kristaps Porzingis. He just so. I think it was you that mentioned this to me. He's gone back to doing this thing where English is my second language too sometimes, where he'll say things and like, I misspoke. I'm sorry.
That one was really funny, though. Sometimes he has to earn with meat. Then he went on Twitter after the fact and said, sometimes my Latvian expressions don't translate.
Yeah. That's so. I wonder what the Latvian expression is then. Like, a man has to earn with meat? I don't understand. Would you have to go hunt something?
Or maybe it's something like in the barter system.
Ooh, okay.
Where you go to the town square and you're trading.
Take my chicken, I'll take your linens.
Exactly. Got like it. If you're trying to, going back in the days, like you're trying to get some nice linen or something, you gotta trade some of your cow.
Okay.
So you gotta earn it with meat.
Interesting. So like,
Latvian idiom.
I feel like Latvia is a relatively like advanced country. Like this isn't
I'm talking about, but you know, like we have idioms that go back to, and I love this kind of stuff.
Yep.
That where like when you're like take it with a grain of salt, like we're
Hold your horses.
Yeah, we're not talking about stuff that we do now. We're talking about something from, I don't know, 200 years ago.
Okay.
And
okay.
So maybe that's this Latvian expression. Ooh. All I'm saying is if I don't see a t-shirt outside the garden next week that says earn with meat, we're not doing our jobs out here.
That's how I live my life. I just want to earn with meat.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Exactly.
617-779-7937. We started with the Celtics here and Jason Tatum. Is Tatum clutch? Do you feel that way? The numbers would indicate he is more clutch than he has been, almost double as clutch as he has been over the last couple seasons, and yet people continue to bash the guy. He doesn't get nominated. Like, he doesn't even get looked at for MVP. It's almost embarrassing, like, how little respect he gets
okay.
at times.
And this is what I'm talking about, because sometimes I feel like I'm crazy or I'm just looking at stuff on Twitter.
That makes so much more sense now.
What is earned with flesh
mean? Like a pound of flesh? You gotta.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
I bet it's probably that.
How do you use pound of flesh? In language. Like, you have to, it's your pound of flesh. Like, how do you use that?
Like, it costs a pound of flesh. Like almost like you have to put in the elbow grease type thing, I think.
Okay. Or like, this is costing me an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Maybe. Huh. Okay.
A pound of flesh. We need someone to flesh that out for us. But on the Tatum front, here's a couple of messages that is so annoying.
Yes, of course.
This is what I'm talking about. Wow, you two sound ridiculous the way you are defending Tatum. Here's another one. Love Tatum, but he's nothing close to a superstar.
All caps. Tatum made one game winner in 100 tries.
How about this? Because he doesn't actually take games over like Bird used to.
And
taking over doesn't just mean scoring a bunch of points.
And I think you talked about this in the first segment as well. Like, I understand people who criticize Tatum for not having the quote-unquote assassin's mentality, right? Because Kobe Bryant was his idol, that Mamba mentality. That's what people, I guess, want to see from him. And that's just emotionally not the kind of person he is. Mm-hmm. Like, he's uber competitive, but it doesn't come out in this angry, aggressive, I'm going to like kill everyone on the court type of way.
He doesn't talk crap to other players. And I think
it's
that bothers
so cool.
People.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like,
you know, people love KG because they knew that sometimes, first of all, the way that he played, he would start games by like talking filth to the stanchion.
Yeah.
And you're like, that guy's out of his mind. And then the stuff that he would say to guys on the court, you were like, he's all about this team.
Yeah.
He's not trying to be Charlie
Villanueva.
He's not trying to be buddy buddy with the other team. They want to meet him out by the bus after the game. And that's not Tatum. And I think that's distasteful to people.
And I think people have started to like Jaylen Brown a little bit more because he does do that some. Like, he's not afraid to get in guys' faces. He's also yoked out of his mind, so he's probably not scared for his life at any point in time. And so, like, he has...
But I don't think Tatum doesn't do it because he's scared. I think he doesn't do it because it's not his
personality. It's just not him. And again, like, I think that's one of the issues right now in the NBA. And I think it also contributes to, in the larger picture, like, why NBA ratings are down, in my opinion. And
okay, I want to get to that.
I kind of said this on the Greg Hill show the other day, and Greg wasn't buying it, and I feel like there isn't the same kind of marketable personalities the way there have been in the past. You look at Bird versus Magic. You look at Kobe. You look at even like Steph Curry, like LeBron James. There isn't a guy out there right now. SGA is awesome. He is -500 win the MVP, like the best player in basketball right now. And he's just kind of a dude. Like, he's not in commercials. His face isn't plastered everywhere. He's not the face of the NBA. The faces of the NBA are still LeBron and Curry, mm-hmm. whose teams aren't that good. Like, the Lakers are fine and the Warriors are fine, but ultimately they're not going to be competing for a title. And so the NBA has found itself in a position where it really kind of hitched its wagon to a guy like Ja Morant, and that fell apart.
Yeah, that wagon
didn't work out.
That wagon couldn't stop doing weird live videos.
And since then, have not fully committed to another young NBA star. And so I think Jason Tatum falls victim to this, is his personality isn't gregarious and outgoing and over the top, and so he doesn't catch the eye of the general public. And so the casual fans just know him as, oh, he's that guy on the Celtics.
Yeah, I'll get to what I think is like the worst case scenario for the Celtics in this era of basketball, even if they're winning. But I do think like the best case scenario for the NBA from your perspective, mm-hmm. if they wanted to build some kind of narrative, would be Anthony Edwards versus Jason Tatum.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Anthony Edwards is that kind of crap talker, that guy with a lot of swag.
Yep.
He's in movies. He's very comfortable in front of the camera. And Tatum is not like the total opposite, like he's some kind of awkward weirdo who is silent, but he's definitely a different personality type. And I think having those two go against each other is just a dynamic that you could actually sell to fans of these two superstars. But you still have people out there saying Tatum's not a superstar. Tatum's an all-star every year.
He's an all-pro.
He's all NBA every year. He's getting a Supermax contract. He won a championship last year. At what point do you define somebody a superstar? That is bizarre to me.
If he is one of the five best players in basketball, I think by default he has to be a superstar. And he is one of the five best players of basketball. It's like, I don't even think it's debatable at this point.
So when I said one of the worst case scenarios that could happen for the Celtics, when the way that you were talking about, okay, Bird versus Magic, Jordan versus everybody, Kobe, LeBron. When you said LeBron, I immediately thought about the NBA started gaining a lot of traction mainstream again when LeBron started coming up and he was going against those Spurs teams.
Yeah.
And those Spurs teams were winning and were dominant. and really unexciting to most of the country.
Very much so. And Tony Parker and Tim Duncan
were
the best boring players of all time.
That's kind of how I feel about the Jays. And I hate to say that. When I say that I feel about the Jays, I say I worry that, like, other people see the Celtics the way that we saw the Spurs.
Yeah, but wasn't Tim Duncan like a three-time MVP?
Ugh, hell, that's what I'm saying. Is Jason Tatum going to turn into Tim Duncan? Which is great, but also, like, people will be sitting there going, Tim Duncan's not Kobe. Tim Duncan wasn't Jordan. Tim Duncan wasn't LeBron.
No, Tim Duncan was just a three-times finals MVP.
That's what I'm saying, Shime. You're making my point.
Yeah.
And so I'm worried sitting here that we're in this weird transitional place in the NBA.
That's such a good comparison.
Where the Celtics will be the Spurs. And we'll look back, and I'm not saying that Missoula is going to be Popovich or anything like that, but we'll look back on this era of Celtics basketball and say, what a fantastically run franchise. What a bunch of really talented, great players.
Yeah.
And Tatum is just like Duncan, and he has all these accolades, but he never was blank who came next. And maybe that's SGA.
Yeah.
You get this Canadian wonder,
yep.
And everybody's excited about that. Maybe it's Anthony Edwards. Who knows? Maybe it's Wemby. And you go, yeah, that was like that great. They were just like that Spurs team. They were in that in-between champion. And that would really bum me out because I think that they
sucks.
Deserve more. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
like
saying.
Nobody,
that's
I don't
what
think
I think
anybody
is worst
looks,
case scenario.
Nobody even really looks fondly back at those Spurs team. Like, nobody mentions
I mean,
them.
People from San Antonio do.
Yeah, I bet they do. And we would hear busted because at the end of the day, like, championships are championships and we're going to have duck boat parades and we're going to love it. But you're right. Like, looking back on it, it's just like, wow. Like, that Spurs team that won all those titles, not nearly as interesting as the Heat team that won those titles with LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh and, like, their battle with Dirk in the NBA Finals and stuff like that. Like, it's just, they don't get nearly discussed about as much at all.
So we got to change this. We got to change the narrative somehow.
Oh, God.
I don't know. Maybe whoever buys the Celtics, if it's Jeffrey Lurie, he'll change something there.
Ooh.
Maybe he'll put them all through, like, the different car washes of media. And so then Jason Tatum has to be out there every single day and just be like the new Pat Beverly and talking crazy stuff all over TV.
Well, because so this text, 508 text, he seems to be more about JT the brand versus JT the basketball player. I feel the complete opposite.
What is JT the brand to you?
Yeah, there is no JT the brand. The only JT the brand is like,
he's on Ruffles bags.
Yeah, and like I want buffalo sauce on my sub or whatever that. Oh, I got bacon on mine. Like, those are the only two commercials he's ever been in. I don't think Jason Tatum cares about his brand at all, actually. That's why it's so difficult to market him. Because outside, he loves his Jordans, his shoes that he has through Nike. They've done a few releases of that. Outside of that, he doesn't care about anything. He wants to play basketball, grind basketball as much as possible, and then, like, hang out with his son.
Yeah, I feel like JT the brand is,
Being a dad.
Yeah, being a dad.
Like that's it.
It's a dad brand.
Yeah. He should be like in Allstate commercials with Peyton Manning. And instead, he's just like, yeah, I'm cool. Balling out, playing basketball, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I think that's worst case scenario. I do want to get to this pound of flesh meaning. So we were talking about Kristaps Porzingis saying you have to earn it with meat. And that's a Latvian idiom.
Somebody brought up a pound of flesh. Kevin from New Hampshire, what's up?
So a pound of flesh, I can't say I know the root of it, but it really connotates a sacrificial component more so than just being expensive. That it's a, you know, it's sort of a deliberate, painful sacrifice if you pay with a pound of flesh or sort of cost you a pound of flesh.
Okay.
It's got that sacrificialness implication.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. I guess I understand, like, when you Google it, just from the Google machine.
I'm scared of you Googling that.
I just wrote pound of flesh meaning, and it says something that strict justice demands is due, but can only be paid with great loss or suffering to the payer.
I don't want that for Porzingis.
So many, 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 many moons ago, back when, you know, we would have markets with things, like when you were going to trade things and barter, people would steal. And the punishment for stealing was losing your hand, pound of flesh.
I remember that from Aladdin.
Yes, I'm connecting these. Yes, exactly, Aladdin. You're going to lose your hand for taking that street rat.
Do you remember that scene in Aladdin where they have the, like, end of the bread and they take a big chomp out of it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think his, like, little pet monkey does.
Yeah, yeah.
I think about that all the time.
Abu?
You know when there's certain things in cartoons, this is a tangent, that look delicious in cartoons and you can't replicate? Like, the bread at Panera always looks like that bread from Aladdin. When they give you the little croissant thing or whatever it is. And then I was actually at the Star Market. I tweeted about this. I was at the Star Market over at TD Garden because I was doing a Celtics-related thing. And I had to grab lunch on the go. It was almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was really hungry. So I ran into that Star Market and got a slice of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen the Goofy movie, or are you too young for that?
Of course I've seen the Goofy movie, okay. The extremely Goofy movie.
You know,
what was the musical act at the end of that? Powerline?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, you know the Goofy movie, how they have that pizza where he pulls the slice of pizza up and the cheese is just like stretching across the whole screen?
Yeah.
That's what the pizza at Star Market at TD Garden is like.
Ooh,
and you know the one that's next to the escalators in front of TD Garden?
Yep.
So I put it out on Twitter. I'm like, this is outrageously good cheesy pizza. If you want pizza where the cheese is like dangling off and you have to hold the slice 2 feet in the air above your head and then you're just like eating the cheese before you even get to the first bite, Star Market. And this is not just an ad because they're a sponsor. Like, I am 100% going to gain 5 pounds from eating this pizza every week now, because I'm over there every week and I'm going to be hitting it up and they're going to be like, okay.
They're going to know your name. You're going to be like, hey, Mego, here's your pizza.
I hope so. Let's get it going.
Yeah. You're 100% right, because even I have watched, so many like different shows and things that have been food focused, and you watch, I'm like, you can't make that look that good in real life.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah. I don't know why that occurred to me, but I was thinking about it earlier. But you brought up the ratings, and
yes.
I know that the NBA ratings were a big topic, a big talker a couple months ago, because the early ratings from the season came out and they were low compared to the year before. And then Adam Silver goes on the Dan Patrick Show, and he has
to reduce the time of the game.
This idea that everyone thinks is kind of crazy, and I'm really into it. And I'll explain why. Do we have the Dan Patrick sound? Let's play that, Zach.
I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a 2-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball is 2 hours, you know, college basketball, of course, is.
Yeah, but if you like it, I'd say it has kind of a little bit of a push there.
Yeah, it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about over time. I mean, incidentally,
but the pitch clock was dramatic, Commissioner.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I'm a fan of what baseball did. I'm a baseball fan, and I think some of those changes have really increased sort of the engagement, the entertainment value of the game. And so I'm paying a lot of attention to that. And in fact, I've used the pitch clock, the sort of the increase in the size of the base, et cetera, in meetings at the NBA to say, you know, if baseball, which is more locked into tradition, and I don't mean that negatively, than any other sport. Part of what baseball provides is the tradition, the legacy, that if they're able to make those changes, certainly we shouldn't be afraid to look at changes as well.
So I love this perspective from Adam Silver.
Okay.
Because he goes on, and it's a really long segment. I know the 10-minute quarters is what everybody latched on to because it sounds so crazy because you're cutting time out of the game. But what have we been saying about the NBA, or at least I have been saying with other people who watch the regular season, is one of the big problems with the NBA. There are so many games, and there are so many games when you don't know who's playing.
Oh, absolutely.
So you look on the calendar and you go, there's going to be this awesome matchup. It's going to be Boston versus Dallas.
Tatum versus SGA versus Luka.
And it's going to be a rematch of the finals. And then you find out that one or two of the stars is out for the game. So it's not a proper rematch. And that happens all the time. And everybody has been complaining about load management since those Spurs teams.
Mm-hmm.
And how bad it is for the league. And people buy tickets. They go to the games. They spend a lot of money. And then they get mad when they're there because they're not even seeing the stars play. And it's just not as good of a product. So you bring up the ratings. And the early season ratings were a problem. Like, that didn't look good for the league.
Terrible.
Their Christmas Day marquee, which now the NFL has crept in and tried to take over, did their biggest rating in the last 5 years.
Wow.
And you bring up the Lakers-Warriors game, so Steph Curry versus LeBron. You only have so much of that left.
Huge draw, yeah.
But that time slot did 499% greater of a rating than the year before in that time slot.
Wow.
So overall, the ratings of that day of Christmas League games, when you have the NFL also playing,
so do you think
is much bigger than it's been in the last 5 years.
Do you think, though, that was in part because those NFL games were blowouts? Like that, I mean, that late game on Christmas Day in the NFL was Ravens-Texans, I believe, and the Ravens won like 31-2.
So I don't know, but here's what I'll say. Silver goes on to say that if they cut those quarters down to 10 minutes, it would be the equivalent of shaving off 15 games from the regular season in terms of wear and tear for players. So could you manage the load management and get guys playing more games in the regular season and making that more of a compelling product because the guys are actually playing? Because everybody plays on Christmas Day. If you're healthy, you like actually, you will play on Christmas Day because that is a huge thing that NBA players, they know it's an honor. It's a big deal.
I think in theory it might work, but in practice, not necessarily. Because, like, sure, you're technically shaving off 15 games, but in reality, you're not. You're still playing 82 games. It's still an 82-game season. And so it may not be a 48-minute game. It's only a 40-minute game, but it's still a full game that guys have played the day before or 2 days before. And so I think the load management thing would still be an issue. I think it's not the duration of the game that's the problem. It's the amount of games that is the problem. And so by removing games from the season, you may be able to help alleviate that load management.
But they're never going to eliminate games because
exactly.
of the money.
That's 100%. It's the same thing with baseball. Like they're just never going to lose out on games because of the money that gets
made. But I think it's so smart that he's looking at what baseball did and say, maybe it's something like cutting the games down to 10 minutes and you'll get pushback for that. You'll get pushback from everything. And the idea, but the very idea that he's looking at that and having discussions about that, because Shime, then maybe it becomes something where they're saying, you know what, we're cutting these games down because we know the 82 game schedule is not manageable for a lot of these teams. Whether you agree with that, like you think these guys are soft or not, I don't really care. But they're not playing every game. So you go to the teams and you say, but you know what? We're instituting these new punishments for load management because we're cutting you guys some slack. And in return, the stars need to be out there playing.
Yeah.
And it can't just be Jason Tatum and Jalen Brunson in the top 10 playing minutes and guys who are under 27.
It needs to be Jokic. It needs to be SGA. It needs to be everybody.
You need to, if your players are actually able, no load management, no rest. Like they need to be out there playing because we're making this concession to you. So you make a concession to us because it's going to be better for the league overall.
Interesting.
And guess what? We got through all of that ideas without mentioning the three-point shooting
Yeah.
That's what I like. Because I think you look at the three-point shooting as well, but I know it sounds like a crazy idea, but it sounds like they're at least open-minded about how to progress the game.
617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in, we've been talking about Jason Tatum, the NBA ratings, all of it. Real quick, before we hit the break, though, I need to issue an apology. I consider myself a fan of Shakespeare, and I was unaware that A Pound of Flesh originated from The Merchant of Venice. The text line has corrected me. Text line, always correct, generally. They're like the Twitch chat, always right. And I Googled it, and they were right. Once again, they were right, because the idiom was used to describe a creditor who demands repayment of a debt no matter how much it will cost the debtor.
Okay, but...
And so in the play, Shylock, who is a moneylender, demands a pound of flesh from Antonio, the Venetian merchant.
And I just don't... I had to read Merchant of Venice in maybe 10th grade. I don't consider that a top-tier Shakespeare.
Fair.
That's definitely, like, down with Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay. Yeah,
like, it's not a great one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking Hamlet.
We're not talking Richard III. That's my favorite.
Yeah, okay. We're not Romeo and Juliet. We're not talking Macbeth.
Yeah.
To me, those are top tiers.
Merchant of Venice is the next tier down? Like B tier, C tier kind
totally.
Of thing?
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get
Merchant
that.
Of Venice is down with Midsummer Night's Dream.
Fair
it's
enough.
Like, if you're into that, you're probably a theater nerd.
Midsummer Night's Dream, actually pretty good.
I'm saying it's a B tier. I'm not saying it's down in like the C tier.
You're going to criticize The Tempest? Is that what we're going to do here?
No.
Okay, cool.
I think I'd also put that in the B tier, though. A lot of those B tiers became like teen comedies in
That's
the
true.
90s, so you have that going for you.
Lion King is basically Hamlet. Anyways, 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI on this wintry Saturday almost afternoon. We've been talking a lot about Jason Tatum being clutch. the NBA ratings, the kind of issues they have been having. Rocky in the car wants to talk about your clutch stats, Mego. Here we go. Okay. What's up, Rocky?
Hey, how you doing? I'm really enjoying the show today. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
The stat that Mego quoted about the 23% going this year to 44%, is that in the last 5 minutes of the game? Did I understand that correctly?
No, it's in the last minute of the game. So we're talking the...
It is in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, we're talking about like the very, very most clutch moments, not traditional clutch in the last 5 minutes.
Okay, then I may have to correct myself, but because my feeling is... when I saw Tatum dribbling the ball with a couple seconds to go, I was dreading it last night. I feel like there's a lot of times that we've seen him go 8, 10, 12 seconds, and he takes that step back three, and I feel like he misses it way more often than he hits it.
And you're right, Rocky.
Good for him that he hit it last night. That was clutch.
This is what I'm saying. The last two seasons, you're right. He was either around 25% or under 25% in those final minute super clutch situations. We're talking game on the line. Buzzer beater, who's going to have the final shot? He was well below average compared to other superstars across the league, but it's different this year. And that's the point that I'm making. He's different in those situations this year, and he's had much more of them compared to the last two previous seasons.
Well, and I bet it goes back more than two previous seasons, because to me, I would have to see a lot more last night before I change my opinion. If I'm not mistaken, I was trying to think of the game and I can't, but if I'm not mistaken, there was a game this year where it was tied and he missed it at the buzzer and it went into overtime. Well, like I said, I've seen that scenario. I would much rather see him drive to the basket, pass it off, or just drive to the basket. I mean, he too often he takes that long range shot. And at the end of the game, I feel like he misses more than he makes.
Thanks for the call, Rocky. I appreciate it. Yeah. I think he's right. I do remember was it Indiana?
So are you talking about the Indiana game from like right
the
before Halloween?
Maybe.
Yeah. So there was an Indiana game where I think this is what Rocky's talking about. It was 132-135 and Tatum had a step back 3-point jump shot and he missed that.
Mm.
But again, okay. 44%. That doesn't mean that he's making every single one of them.
Yeah. And
but he's making much more of them than he has in the past.
In that same game in the fourth quarter, he hit the game tying shot with 14 seconds left.
Right.
So it's like, you know, he's 1-for-2 in the game, basically, in those super clutch moments, which a 50% rate is a good thing. Like, that's kind of where you would want him to be. If you're telling me Steph Curry, one of the greatest shooters of all time, was at 62% at the height of his powers, being at 50% feels like it's in a good spot.
And that was a four-year average.
Yeah.
So some of those years he's like 40%. Some of those years he's like almost 90%, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you would love to have somebody get to that level, but we're talking about one of the most clutch and best shooters in the league's history.
Yeah.
In Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Tatum's also a different kind of player.
Yeah, I'm curious where, and I assume you probably don't have these on hand, but I'm curious where, like, LeBron would be. Because when I think about LeBron's big moment shots, I don't feel like there aren't a bunch that just, like, come to mind. You know what I mean? Like, when I think of those big moment shots, I think about the Kyrie shot
for
the Cavs.
I still think Jordan. Like, who is the most super clutch shooter?
Oh, you know, I'm not, I guess, I misinterpreted how I was feeling. So, yeah, you're right. Like, Jordan is probably up there with guys like Steph Curry.
Like, let's say that there's 14 seconds and you need a 3-point shot or 2-point shot or an and one or something like that.
Jordan.
Whose hands are you putting the ball in?
It's like Jordan, Kobe, maybe Steph Curry.
You know who is also quietly super clutch? And I mean, like, this elite clutch? Paul Pierce.
Yes, absolutely.
Pierce, incredibly super clutch.
Yeah.
And so, I think...
And
if
I think
Tatum
that probably
continues
weighs
this. Like, these are the moments that then cement you as people on the text line saying Tatum's not a superstar because he doesn't do what Larry Bird did. Well, maybe we'll see some more of this and then people will stop doing
it. And
that.
I bet they hold the Paul Pierce against Jason Tatum in that we watched Paul Pierce make all of those amazing moments like a reality. And yet Jason Tatum hasn't quite done that yet. At that level or at that memorable. And so I bet a lot of people just feel like, well, he's just not that clutch. He's not Paul Pierce. And he's supposed to be this amazing player, and he's not even Paul
but
Pierce.
But he's getting there.
Yeah, hey.
And Pierce wasn't always that.
Exactly. One day at a time. 617-779-7937. It's Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original. It is now time for the football hour here with Mego and Shime. We'll get to that coming up next.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out
basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.